Hey there, Michael.
Hello.
We are joined yet again once today by our good friend Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Very well. Very well. So, we again wanted to get Dave on to talk about the second in his August the 23rd posts. This one being on the war on boredom. Now, this is kind of basically for the outline of the post is, I believe it was a commenter, Dave, on a 2R post of yours, was saying about how they were having issues with the iOS 5 beta at the time, which meant that they could not use their iPad on their trip, and how it was like a devastating thing that they now only had their iPod Nano and access to an internet cafe.
Right.
And they were on holiday, I believe, this person. Now, this isn't necessarily saying anything about this person per se, and it's maybe more a social commentary on life these days and the way that we're so heavily connected. And we've spoken about this. I think we spoke about this with Julio, didn't we, Pat, of the Connected Disconnect, which was an episode that we did recently. So I wanted to get your take on that, Dave, about, you know, what, why does it upset you? Or why did that instance make you pontificate on the way that we're so insistent on being connected?
Sure. I want to preface this entire episode by saying I'm going to sound like a cranky old man. And I understand it, and I embrace it. So just there. Now it's out of the way. And now I can continue.
That's okay. They're used to it because I've been sounding like a cranky old man for 82 episodes now. So I'm glad that there's someone else on to make me feel less alone. You know?
So the precedent has been set.
Yes.
All right. Well, here's the problem. It was actually a post by my colleague Chris Rawson over at 2A. And this is about the time when iOS 5 was still in beta. And, you know, there were lots of users who were simply paying the $99 just to get it and play with it, which is fine. That's cool. But this man or woman, I don't really know who it was. Let's just say he, for the sake of argument, installed the beta on his iPad and was on vacation in Africa. I don't know where in Africa, but off in Africa, and found that the beta 2 was causing all kinds of problems with iPad, and he was unable to use it. And he complained that, quote, "It's really a pain because I'm still in Africa and with nothing but my iPad Nano and an internet cafe to entertain me for the rest of this trip." And I thought, really, son or daughter? You're in Africa. You're in Africa, one of the most interesting continents there is. Yeah. How could there not be anything interesting to do? I couldn't believe it. And then I thought that this is a real commentary on what's happened. We're this close to living on the Axiom spaceship in WALL-E. I really believe we are. And like, for instance, I have lots of parent friends because that's what happens. And some of them have the cars with the DVD player inside.
Oh,
and I'll admit we've used it on like, if we go to Pennsylvania to visit my family, that's a 7-hour drive. So, yep, we'll hook the kids up with something that keep them entertained because a 5-year-old does not do well in a car for 7 hours. But there are families who flip that thing on for every single outing, even if it's a 9-minute drive to the store. And when I was in Disney World with my kids in April, I think, and we were in line for rides, and there's kids playing with Game Boys in line. You're in line for an amazing ride at Disney World. And the 7 minutes you have to stand here is so mind-numbing that you need to have input from a game. Mm-hmm. And that's really problematic. And what I thought is the fact that we've cured boredom, and that's a significant problem.
Yeah.
Because who's going to fix the problems that we have if you're not bored? Because that's when you get up off your butt and do something. Like when I was young, my dad was self-employed and didn't get home till 7 p.m., and my mom worked a graveyard shift at a hospital. So when my sister and I got home from school, we were pretty much on our own for 2 or 3 hours because my dad was at work and mom was sleeping. And we found something to do. And TV wasn't an option because back then, I'm talking about the 70s, I don't, you may have heard whispers about this, Mike. There was something called the 70s at one point.
I've read about it. I just thought it was in that 70s show. I thought
oh, if only it was that good. But we had a TV, but it got three channels, and half of them were snow. And so we would go outside and do something or invent a game. And I think that my sisters and I are more creative people because of that. Yeah. And if I could have just plugged in at that moment, would I have developed play is a coping skill. Being able to entertain yourself is a serious skill for a kid or anyone to have. There's going to be a day where Junior's has a three-hour layover in Newark and he's not going to know what to do. Well, can you entertain yourself? So, and it goes beyond that too. I mean, there are, as you know, huge problems in the world. And are people going to have the patience to work on them when they're 15 and 20 and 40 and 50 years old, when they're used to being entertained at every given moment? Or how does your brain even have time to process what you saw during the day or reflect on what you saw during the day? So that's what sort of launched me into what I've launched in again just now.
Well, I mean, and I, there's probably not a single person who is listening who doesn't know that I agree with you 100%. I think it's important to remember that many of our greatest thinkers throughout history have directly credited boredom with their discoveries, with their ability to think deeply about various subjects, for instance.
Sure.
Things like that. Recently, going to try to find it here, and I might have talked about this on a previous episode, and not strangely enough, it is in my it's in the little notebook I keep for the book I'm working on. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of quotes. One by Thomas Merton. When solitude was a problem, I had no solitude. When it ceased to be a problem, I find I already possessed it, and I could have possessed it all along, right? And that's, I think that that's the thing, is that we're trying to solve this problem, not just of boredom, but also of solitude, that is not necessarily just being entertained, but it's being connected to other people as well, right? Mm-hmm. Or connected mm-hmm. to information, or connected to entertainment, right? And that it's not just the boredom that we're missing, and thus the ability to think, to have time to think and think deeply, and not have our minds filled and distracted with other information, but also not having the ability to spend time with ourselves, to spend a little bit of time right. inside of our own heads. You know what right. I mean?
Right. And Pat, as you go through your day, I'm sure interesting things happen to you and compelling things happen to you and all sorts of things happen to you. Well, if interesting and compelling things never stopped happening to you until the moment you literally fell asleep, then what value would they be? Because you have no chance to reflect upon them and to learn from them and to adjust your behavior or outlook or whatever it is accordingly. Now, I think Twitter can be sort of tagged as an embodiment of this. I'll have a Twitter app running and it updates whatever it is every 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And it's like machine gun thoughts. So when the thing refreshes, 5 or 6 or 8 tweets will appear at once. And they all have nothing to do with each other. The first one may be about, here's this cool book I read. And the other one is, I love the habanero flavor of Tabasco. And the other one is, I got a free baseball at the park last night. And the other one is, my daughter won the swimming meet. But I don't have a chance to think about or react to or relate to any of those. Because it's just too fast. It's just too fast.
Right.
And well, that's and, how it...
And I would argue that your brain is then on this constant search for relevance, right? You're sending it on this quest for relevance that may or may not be there. And the brain's natural, I think, inclination, reaction is to say, oh, well, you should check again in another 3 minutes because that one might be relevant.
Right. Well, our brains all day long make sense of incoming stimulus, be it the things we see or hear or taste or whatever. But there's no chance to do that. And so, I mean, you can even say like you feel you have a sense of failure from the day because you weren't able to do that. I look at Twitter all day because I have to for work. So if I'm sitting here for 6 hours, I'm looking at it for 6 hours. And sometimes really amazing things come through that get lost because I don't have time to think about them. Or if I understand that it's a wonderful tool and it brings people together and, you know, let's hold hands and all that sort of thing. But it can be detrimental at the same time because when do you have time off? When do you have time to reflect? We talked about processing your inbox in a previous episode. Well, that goes beyond what you write down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's the experiences that you have. When do you have a chance to process your mental in?
Yeah, yeah. I actually wrote a post for Minimal Mac recently, yesterday as we record this, but, you know, as it airs, it may be a little while. But it's called The Funny Thing About Vampires, right? Hmm. And the basic premise is this, and that is that the funny thing about vampires is that you have to invite them in. They can't come into your house. They can't, you know, suck your blood. They can't harm your family unless you invite them past that threshold, unless you say, come on in, right? Mm-hmm. Well, all of these other things are the same way, right? We are inviting them in.
Yeah.
We are saying it's okay for you to refresh every 5 minutes. You know, you were saying to our email, it's okay for you to automatically check for new messages every so often.
Yeah.
You know, we are inviting these vampires in. These things that suck our life away and our time and attention. If our time and attention isn't our life, I don't know what is. But these things that would take away that time and attention from other areas of my life, I'm inviting those in.
Yeah. Right. We're information junkies, and we all need to go to rehab to get off.
Honestly, I think, you know, people, you know, kind of, they want a takeaway. Yeah. I mean, what is your suggestion? A few episodes back, I actually talked a little bit about this with, we had, Julio Ojeda Zapata on and Mike and I talked about this a little bit. I think either during one of those episodes or another episode that aired recently, and I actually challenged him to leave his phone at home, right? Because Mike was like, "Nope, can't do it, cannot do that."
Yeah, no, can't, no, can yeah, do.
Just can't do it. Yeah. Nope.
And, well, I'm 5 months without a phone right now, Patrick.
Yeah, which I think is fascinating and wonderful, right? I think that's great. You know.
Yeah.
Can I play the advocate? Because I've been listening to you two lovely gentlemen talking this out. I'm not so sure if personally I see the influx of information as being overwhelming. I don't necessarily feel overwhelmed, and I understand what you're saying about the idea of it being too much to take in, but it's not something that I personally feel when I'm going through Twitter. I feel like I'm taking in as much as I would need to take from it, and alternately as well, I don't, where I can see, like in the example that we gave earlier in the show about the gentleman who was on holiday, because, you know, really he should be having his holiday. I think I've come from the generation in which we tend to be always connected. We are becoming a lot more connected by having internet communicators in our pockets. And Mm-hmm. The idea of waiting in a line, for me, would be hellaciously boring if I wasn't able to do something else. But I don't think that that's necessarily turning me into like a zombie.
No, but I would say that that's not a good thing. because you're not. All right, here's how I'll say two things. The first is, which one should I do first? Think about times when you've been forced to not be connected. How many times have you said, "I get the best ideas when I'm in the shower"?
That's a good point. I mean, saying that I don't ever just think. You know, I do have times to do think, but there are, I feel like I have the tendency to be to not mind about being connected as much as, say, you would.
Yeah, and that could be due to your age and your life experience, and that could be the way it goes forward for a great many people.
And Dave and I will remain the cranky old guys who are sitting here yelling to the kids to get off the lawn when, in fact, well, you know, it's their lawn now. It's no longer our lawn. Right. That lawn no longer belongs to us.
But if I – every year – I've said this before to you, Mike. I don't know if I talked about it with you, Patrick. My family and I goes on vacation together. It's 13 of us. We rent a big house and just spend the week hanging out. And we always go in the middle of nowhere where almost none of our phones work. Not by design, but particularly because we're rural people and we like being around trees and woods and all that sort of thing. And my phone never works. And I noticed that if I'm in Boston, let's say, with my phone – it's like I'm living 30 seconds ahead of where I actually am, because I think, oh, I can't wait to tweet a picture of that, or I can't wait to, as soon as I get off the train, I'm going to check in on Gowalla or whatever it is. Or I got to work on this project when I get to the thing, and I miss so much great stuff. Like, there was one time when we were in the middle of nowhere, New York, earlier this year, and my son and I were in the little teeny tiny, when I say tiny, tiny store, just buying supplies for the house. And he said, "Dad, look at the snowman." And I said, "William, what are you talking about?" He said, "Look at the snowman. There's a snowman right over there." And I looked around, and sure enough, there was a snowman balloon available for sale. And I thought, my first thought was, why would there be a snowman balloon available for sale in June? And then I thought, look what my disconnected kid noticed that I wouldn't have noticed if I was checking into the store or tweeting a picture or doing all these different things. Mm-hmm. He doesn't live 30 seconds from right now. He lives now.
Yeah. Well, and to get back to, you know, Mike's point, Michael?
Yes.
Do you remember a time without the internet? I mean, like, where it didn't exist? At all?
No. I know that there was a time in my life where it didn't, but I don't remember it.
There you go.
Well, that's amazing. I don't remember there being a time when I would. Well, let me rephrase it. It's such an early stage in my life. You know, I know that I used a computer to that would be black screen, green text, that sort of thing, but. The internet has practically been around for most of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and you know, that quaint little story that Dave was telling, you know, about in the 70s, we had to go make our own fun. We didn't have people making fun for us. Yeah, well, you know what? We didn't have the internet.
Hmm.
You know.
I think we're officially obsolete, Patrick, you and me.
Very well possible.
It's like the obsolete man.
But I'll tell you. But here's. You know, let me flip this around, right? So, what I did have was I had books. I had lots of books, right? Mm. I was a voracious reader. Absolutely, like I consumed books like there was no tomorrow. Why? Well, you know, I was kind of an introvert, and books were my way of kind of hiding and escaping. And I could bury my head in a book and kind of disappear. Because I was a really quiet, bookish kid, if you can believe that. But I you know, my mom was always telling me, why don't you go outside and find some other kids to play with? Why don't you get, you know, why are you always in the house with your head in a book? Why don't you, you know, go out and climb a tree or, you know, she was always trying to push me out of the house. I think for much the same fears, right? That I was not out and enjoying the outside world. I was always in my own little inside world. But it wasn't the internet, and no, it wasn't Twitter, and no, it wasn't Facebook. But I think the fears are very transferable on her part. That she was worried that, you know, all I would have is books, and that I wouldn't have any real friends or make any real connections or, you know, really learn to enjoy the outside and the outdoors. And, I sometimes wonder, you know, not only is our wonder about whether our feelings about this stuff is generational, and whether that makes them any less valid or not, but also how much of this is more of the same, right? Yeah, there was concern when the printing press was invented, when Gutenberg came out with the printing press, and it started to proliferate across Europe, that people's brains would be overloaded from all of this new information that was available to them, and that they would just, you know, spend all day consuming it and not work in the fields and not get their farming done.
Yeah, and perhaps folks who grew up with a constantly connected life are better equipped
to
manage the influx than I simply am not. I need time to sit and think about whatever it was, but folks who have been drinking from the fire hose from day one are accustomed to the flow, if you will.
Yeah. And I would say don't necessarily see how it detrimentally affects them because they don't know anything else. But on the other hand, maybe it doesn't detrimentally affect them because they've been conditioned to learn to kind of live with it and think with it and do with it in a way that we have not.
Hmm.
So, I'm with you, brother. I'm standing right there beside you in your war on boredom. I completely agree with you. For what it's worth, when my family took the road trip out to Boston to see, Aaron and you, not nearly long enough, by the way, and the like, she got one movie a day on the iPad, and that was it. That was it. And she's three. And
yeah.
She survived that, you know, 12-hour-a-day, you know, trip just fine. I mean, we loaded up the seat with, you know, with toys for her to play with and with books, and we made sure to take frequent stops. And when we stopped, we would play little exercise games with her, you know. So it'd be like, okay, let's jump. Let's do jumping jacks, you know. She'd do these completely uncoordinated jumping jacks. But just anything just to keep her happy and interested. And, you know, we would talk about the things that rolled by on the outside of the window. And just to bring another quote in from a researcher on this subject whose research in three books I highly, highly, highly recommend. Her name is Sherry Turkle, and she actually she's at MIT. And she's a professor at MIT, but her field of research is the intersection of technology and society. And how it affects society. And she's written three books on the subject, and the last one being titled Alone Together. But she has this great quote, which is this: loneliness is failed solitude. If you don't teach your children to be alone, then they will only know how to be lonely. And I'll tell you, especially recently, since I've been really deep into my research regarding such topics, I've been extra diligent about teaching Beatrix how to be alone.
Yeah, it is a skill, just like any other skill you learn. Like, like tying your shoe or making an omelet or getting to the bus on time.
Mm-hmm.
Kids do need to learn to how to occupy themselves when they are. They do have alone time. They'll have alone time now. They'll have alone time when they're in college for the first time. It's going to be an important skill throughout their whole lives. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that should do it. Where can we find you, Dave? Remind the audience once again.
You can find me at the unofficial Apple weblog, which is tuaw.com, or you can find me at my own site, which is 52tiger.net. That's 52tiger.net.
All right. Thank you so much, Dave, for being
Thank you.
On these past couple of episodes. It's been great.
Thanks for letting me yell on your show.
Anytime, mate. All right, and Michael, thank you as always.
Pleasure.
All right. We'll talk later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.